invite you to join me as we enter into a time of prayer, entering into this space as we are each called, some seeking a soft meditation, some a deep reflection or an ardent prayer. Each as we're called, but all together. We enter into this space by hearing the lamentations, the requests, and remembrances of this community. We hear one another to heal one another. Spirit of life, known in so many ways by so many names. Gracious power of love unfolding, known by no single name fully. Hear us and be with us. We know that another week has passed. We have seen tragedy and destruction this week. Russian and Syrian forces bombing civilians, a bridge collapse in Florida. And yet we also know that there's been a breath of beauty and love happening this week. And we like to hail and mark those moments as well. We gather in community in this congregation to remember the pain and the triumph, to praise the beauty, to decry the horror, and to organize for healing. Where suffering may not be so easily erased, we gather for a deep and honest lament, giving strength to one another. Here we have come seeking the best way to live and love in this beautiful and sometimes hectic world. And here we are, opening ourselves to possibilities never imagined, saying for ourselves and those in crisis and strife, have mercy. Asking those in power, when will the fighting cease? In hopes of finding guidance to these and all our deep questions, we pray that our love breaks all the boundaries with which our society burdens it. And we pray into this extended silence, seeking comfort from our own pain. In the name of all that each of us deems holy, we pray.
Our reading today is Pale Blue Dot, A Vision of the Human Future in Space by Carl Sagan. In the garden, God tells Eve and Adam that he has intentionally left the universe unfinished. It is the responsibility of humans over countless generations to participate with God in a glorious experiment, the completing of the creation. The burden of such a responsibility is heavy, especially on so weak and imperfect a species as ours, one with so unhappy a history. Nothing remotely like completion can be attempted without vastly more knowledge than we have today. But perhaps, if our very existence is at stake, we will find ourselves able to rise to this supreme challenge.
So, I was never much for the balance beam. I was a gymnast when I was younger. The first 5 years of my athletic life were doing gymnastics. And I was never much for that balance beam when you had to walk on this teeny tiny little space and you were way up there all alone with nothing to hold on to, nothing to help you. And if you slipped, if you fell, you were going to topple a good distance down. It was going to be painful. And the worst part was, everybody was gonna see. I much preferred handstands, and a special kind of handstand. With a handstand, the whole world turned upside down. I could suddenly see everything differently. And if My center of balance was off. I could move one hand. I could take a step with a hand or take a step with another hand and maybe catch myself. And if I fell, well, the ground was right there. It wasn't too far away. There's a metaphor building here. We're gonna get there. So my favorite kind of handstand ever, though, was with my gymnastics teacher. He was an aging gymnast himself, and he was strong as an ox. And if you could believe it, he would hold his arm out like this, and I would do a handstand on his arm. I have no idea how we got into this. I was little at the time. I could do miraculous things. But somehow we would do this, and he would walk me around the room, and I would be upside down. And the most amazing part is that our centers of balance had to get aligned. If I was a little bit off, he would slide this way and slide that way, and I would slide this way and that way, and we would find one another and be able to do that miraculous thing. Are you starting to get the metaphor? Our dominant culture, the culture that permeates our classrooms, our shopping malls, our office buildings, our job sites, our online universe, our universities, our partisan politics, our nation, even our congregations, is balance beam culture. Assisted handstand culture, where we share the burden of balance, occurs but in microclimates. It has to be intentionally created, and it only blossoms in spaces where trust, teamwork, shared problem solving, love, and self-love are encouraged and embodied. Balance beam culture is oppressive culture. It is linear. It demands perfection. It rewards pain. There is one right way. You are either with me or against me. Mistakes are catastrophic. You are playing to win, not to experience, not to play. And you are up there alone. Making a mistake is confused with being a mistake, right? Having a problem is confused with being a problem. Mistakes and problems are personal. If you trip, you are the failure. Who put you up there? Never mind that. Doing wrong is being wrong. Do you feel this culture? Balance beam culture is oppressive culture. It is American culture. It is white supremacist culture. What do I mean when I say white supremacist culture? I don't mean the particular and extreme culture that white supremacists or Nazi groups embody when they storm through our streets. I mean the insidious culture that moves in and through this, our American culture en masse. The way of being that we don't even question anymore because it is just, well, how it is. Get me? White supremacist culture shows up in organizations in white dominant nations, in nations that have been shaped by domination, in nations where our culture, where one culture has been established, one way of being human as superior to any others. Supremacist culture is the result of a culture that is actively securing domination, suppression, oppression. Here's a side route to understanding the way that dominion establishes dominance. Have you ever heard the terms New Testament and Old Testament? I don't ever use these terms because they root in Christian supremacy. The idea that Christianity is the end of Jewish thought, that it is the answer, the omega to the alpha, that it is the purpose, the reason, the new shiny idea as opposed to the old musty one? And what does testament mean? It means covenant. It means relationship. The Old Testament is the old relationship between God and God's people once. The New Testament is the new relationship superseding the old one, making the old one inconsequential and obsolete. Hear me? I'll always reach for the terms Hebrew scriptures and Christian scriptures because these terms don't posit a winner and a loser, just two different scriptures. When new Christian congregations were founded in the old world, they were built on top of pagan sites. They were built on top of Jewish temples and later on top of sacked Muslim ruins. The strategy of Interpretatio Christiana, Christian reinterpretation, was meant to Christianize the pagan and later just the non-Christian world. It was done without apology and with immediate violence, as when the island of Oglossa in the Tyrrhenian Sea was Christianized Monte Cristo. Here, in the New World, pun, or perhaps pain intended, we built Christian churches on top of native sites, and we drive oil pipelines through sacramental homelands. Yes? This is new, but to whom? The dominant. Dominion demands that there is one right New World way, and dominion subjugates all the others. You are either with us or against us, and dominion creeps into our culture and hides there. Precisely because it is so present and at the same time so very difficult to name or identify, culture hides stuff. I feel balance beam culture, which is part and parcel of supremacist culture, all the time. It lives in my gut. I believe it lives in all of our guts. It's that, oh no, here I go again. I made a mistake. I forgot to do. I forgot to say. I have a problem. I am a failure. I. This is the loneliness of our dominant balance beam culture. We're breaking that culture down today. We're using one of the most powerful tools to dismantle that culture. We're experimenting. Trying some new stuff, not alone, but together. Not knowing if it will work, but feeling it out here in this space. Not knowing if we will do it again, trying something bold, fun, beautiful, and maybe right for us. Who knows? We didn't have 7 committee meetings about the angle of the chairs. We didn't spend 3 hours mathematically calculating the perfect angle. And most pressingly, we didn't get stymied by the questions, what if they hate it? What if we fail? Yeah, Reverend Scott never gets stymied by those questions. Dominant culture is overly concerned with who owns what, and less concerned with communal health. Let me say that again. Dominant culture is overly concerned with who owns what and less concerned with communal health. Because this is an experiment, and experiments aren't about being right. We all will learn what we can from this experience. There might be a miracle or a beautiful oops. Experiments aren't undertaken alone, somewhere up on a balance beam, ready to be judged. Our staff team is experimenting together, and we are trusting you, our congregation, to be our collaborators, testing our hypothesis with your and our own experience. Marcus had a great idea. What if we angled the chairs a little bit more towards one another? Would we feel a bit more connected? Let's try it. Let's feel it. Let's see how it goes. If it works, wonderful. If it doesn't, hallelujah. We haven't bolted anything down. Are you a part of any organizations, any committees, any clubs, corporations, boards that experience that sluggish, stuck feeling? Sounds like the beginning of a commercial for some kind of medical solution. You want to do something different, or perhaps you just want to do something. But when an idea is posed, 20 reasons why that idea is dangerous or wrong or not what we do are generated. We tried that once 20 years ago. What if the new idea were rendered as an experiment? Not a forever change, just something we might try together. How might that disrupt the organization's culture? We have to teach the idea of experimenting to one another. In the reading, Carl Sagan melded theology and science. He shared, "It is the responsibility of humans to participate with God in a glorious experiment. The completing of creation." How do we create? We experiment. A glorious experiment that can only evolve if we dismantle the culture that answers the holy's yes with a dominant no. Sagan says, perhaps our existence is at stake. I am most certain that it is. And the holy needs us now more than ever. And our dance today, liturgical dance. Let me tell you something about liturgical dance. I've seen some pretty awful liturgical dancing. With fans and scarves and people falling into one another and then landing on the poor unsuspecting front row. But I've also seen it done beautifully. When Andrea, who danced today, approached Marcus and I, we were deliberate in conversation and consideration. We take ownership of and responsibility for the worship experience. And this is key. Experiments are not taken willy-nilly. This is not an opportunity to just do whatever. It's instead the means to move forward deliberately, responsibly, carefully, together. And Andrea engendered trust. All three of us decided to work together and experiment. If it works, wonderful. If it doesn't, hallelujah, we haven't bolted anything down. Experiment is about trust, building it into the fibers of a team, building it into the fibers of a congregation. It is handstand, not balance beam culture. No one is up there alone about to make a mistake that ends their ministry, I hope. Their career, their time in this congregation. We are in this together. We are finding our center of gravity together. Yes? We need one another. Yes. Let me make a confession. I don't know how to clap on the two and the four. I listen for it. I truly do, but I can't hear the difference between the two and the four and the one and the three. For a while, I carried this as a problem, a heavy burden to bear. How can I be a worship leader that doesn't know how to clap on the two and the four? Especially with a drummer as a husband. But that was balance beam culture speaking through me. I've learned since that there is a whole congregation of people here, some of them a precious few, but some who love to clap and know how to hear the two and the four. You're one, Hillary. Thank you today. When I see you clapping, I jump in. I can feel it when I see it. We're in this together. This too is an antidote to the dominant culture, the white supremacist culture. Success is not individual. It is never individual, right? We solve problems together. The Reverend Dr. Forrest Church said, "Religion is the dual response to being alive and knowing we have to die." And what does the word religion mean? What is that response that he's talking about? Ligio, to bind, re, again. Religio, to bind again. Religion is what we do to bind us together again as we were, perhaps, in the beginning, as I know we are in our souls, a united whole, a common humanity, finding our center of gravity together. Separation is the whispering of a supremacist culture. It is the real American sin. It is what we are here this morning dismantling. Are we prepared to religio together? Amen. If I stumble, will you help me? If your neighbor in the seat next to you has a bold idea, will you listen? If we build it here, we change a piece of our world. We participate, as Carl Sagan shared, in the creation. We answer the Holy's yes with our own. Amen. We are building a new way. It is such a gift to share in ministry with you. Such a blessing to be with this congregation. Let us experiment boldly together. Amen.